Blog Talk Radio.
Don't leave the door open. Those damn cats, I'll tell you. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay, who's been scratched to death here practically from Spook Show. Here along with
Dave Banquet, the weirdest, really bad movie. And I have to make a formal complaint here, sir. Here we are amongst all these cats, and you didn't bring the kitty litter, nor did you tell me to. And this is a mess.
This is
a mess.
This is going to be terrible. Oh, no.
Take weeks to get the stain out.
Shoveling it, so.
Yes, we are.
Work at some point.
Oh yes. No, it's our little friends back again for another night of cats. It's a wonderful, cats can be nice and friendly and they cuddle up and purr on your lap, but they can actually be pretty frightening. And that's what we're going to hear, the frightening ones on this tale tonight of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Excellent story.
Yes, frightening feline tale there for you tonight. As well as we'll chit chat a little bit about cats in movies, especially. I have a few that are mention worthy, I think. The one that comes to mind right now is General from the movie Cat's Eye. General the cat who roamed from story to story. It was an anthology movie, and General actually plays a part in, I think it's the final segment, with the little troll in the wall. If you remember that movie.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah, Cat's Eye wasn't one of Stephen King's biggest, but it was a good flick, and that had a cat who had a pretty big role in there.
Yeah, cats have this thing about them where they're mysterious and they're gonna be scary and it's just a good bet. Well, for horror stories, just think it goes all the way back to Edgar Allan Poe in maybe one of the first horror stories about a cat, The Black Cat.
Yes. Where
the cat ratted him out, you know?
Yeah. That's the way it worked in the Edgar Allan Poe story. Now, Universal, of course, did their version of it. With Karloff and Lugosi. Dave and I were talking about it a little bit before the show started and how much we enjoyed that particular film. We're in agreement that we think it's probably the best film with both Karloff and Lugosi starring together.
Absolutely. And then I brought up about how the Art Deco whole design of the house and such, it just was absolutely mesmerizing. It truly was. And then you mentioned how it looked really almost modern today, today's standards.
It did in some ways. I remember the staircase and other features of the house that had some real modern type lighting. It even by today's standards, just a great film. Good acting. Karloff had maybe his darkest, except maybe Cabman Gray. I love it. This Cabman Gray and the Body Snatcher, but quite sinister in this film. And Lugosi is uncharacteristically the good guy.
Yeah.
Twisted and bent, but more of a protagonist certainly than Karloff.
Yeah, and as you said, as we were talking, we did agree, probably with the two of them, and it was probably the best film that they ever did together. I honestly believe that. Got an old VHS copy.
They kind of went out on a limb there, too, because they covered Satanism a little bit, which was somewhat of a taboo topic for Hollywood in those days.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some unwritten rules of things you don't mess with, and that kind of was one that, at that time, of course, since it was a horror film, it was able to probably get away with it because of that, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, the people in the United States feel that, a cat could be a sign of bad luck. Well, it's actually the opposite in England and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They're considered good luck omens, black cat.
And in Egypt, especially ancient Egypt, you've got the whole thing about them being worshipped, which is sort of related to
a cat cult.
Yeah, and they used to embalm cats along with and make cat mummies along with their people, so they would have a cat with them in the afterlife.
Did you know that they only meow to communicate with people? They don't meow to each other.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yep.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to mention the brain. Cat's brain is 90% similar to a human's, more so even than a dog.
Well, yeah, the dog is just always guilty, you know, whenever it comes to doing anything.
Yeah.
the cat points at the dog and says he did it, you know. The dog says, "Oh, I don't remember. Maybe I did. Okay, I'm sorry."
cats and dogs. I don't know. Do you have any cats from films that stand out for you, Dave, or that any favorites that you have?
Oh, yeah, you know, we had mentioned before, again, growing up, I was not exposed to really any of the horror films. The scariest film my parents let us watch probably was The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, okay? What I was introduced to was a lot of the wonderful Disney movies, and there were a lot of wonderful cats in those films, like, you know, like that cat from outer space and that darn cat. And of course there were the Aristocats, and of course one of the greatest Disney cats of all time, perhaps the Cheshire cat from the Disney animated version of the Alice in Wonderland. There's just then the three lives of
the top five.
The Three Lives of Thomasina. I'm just thinking, you had in Pinocchio, the cat Figaro, you know, so there's so many that Disney depended upon as a vehicle in his movies. And outside of, like, a couple, like, you know, the Siamese cats and Lady and the Tramp, and most of the cats were good cats, not bad cats, but good cats.
There's been all kinds of cats. Sometimes they play neutral roles or kind of just a cute background. I know Jones was the name of the cat in Aliens when Sigourney Weaver finally overcomes at least the immediate risk of the alien and took care of poor little Jonesy and put her in suspended animation with herself to be rescued later. Here's a cat. I'll bet you our audience would be hard pressed to think of the name of if we got Jocks and Fogsbane listening. If you happen to know the name of the cat I'm about to mention, in the movie The Fly. All right, David Hedison, was doing matter transformation, and unfortunately he transferred his cat, but it didn't rematerialize, and it seemed to be stuck in the walls crying, but it never materialized. Do you remember the name of that cat? I don't know why I know this.
I do remember that movie, yes, but I don't remember the name of the cat.
The cat's name was Dandolo.
Dandolo, okay. I wonder why I wouldn't. I don't know why I wouldn't remember that.
A common cat name. But there's been so many movies. I posted earlier this week some trailers from some of the films that, cats wormed their way into the media. There was, of course, both versions of The Cat and the Canary, the famous 1927 movie, and then remade again in 1939 with Bob Hope.
Yeah, that was a biggie for Bob. It was.
Yeah.
It did so well that eventually that's why they did the Ghost Breakers, that was kind of a sequel to that.
It was. And then, of course, Val Lewton had a thing with cats going there. We did a special about Val Lewton. Look it up in the archive, gang. Definitely not worth not want to miss that. Not worth missing. Or something. Anyway, we had the cat people. A Curse of the Cat People. It was kind of a sequel and kind of not. And of course, Val Lewton also made The Leopard Man. All great 1940s.
And so, one of my favorites, Catwoman of the Moon.
yes. And it's public domain, so we can host that baby. And you got hot British women in cat like suits from bars. Yeah, boy. And the very first, and I'll only touch on this for a second because we don't usually go there, but the very first X-rated cartoon ever. I remember that coming out when I was a very young adult called Fritz the Cat. Never saw it.
I didn't either. I probably wouldn't be an X-rated today, so.
probably. Well, I don't know. I've seen a few clips, and it's pretty rough. I mean, you definitely don't like kids watching that one. But I've just not bending over backwards to see Fritz the Cat. And, of course, the great musical Cats. Such a fun part of that with some hit songs.
I thought that was a very interesting presentation. You know, a friend of mine who's an actor, and he's not real fond of Weber musicals because he says basically he has one good song and he plays it out throughout the whole show. I said, yeah, but everybody knows that song, don't they? Yeah, but that's one of his. And I actually went to. When I was in Lima, my aunt got tickets, so we went to see the a stage version of Cats there that was presented in the Lima big community theater area. Not a community theater, but the Lima Playhouse type thing. So
seems like not just Disney, but a lot of kids' movies featured Cats. You've got The Lion King, Oliver and Company, Homeward Bound. Remember that one?
There are several
kind
of them.
Adventuring together.
Yeah.
Puss in Boots. Milo and Otis.
Yeah, Milo and Otis. I think that was a Japanese import, if I'm not mistaken. Milo and Otis.
I think so. Speaking of Japanese cats, one of the things that was running at the same time as Astro Boy when I was a kid was Kimba the White Lion. Do you remember Kimba?
No, we didn't have that in Buffalo, but I had Astro Boy, and I didn't have Johnny Sacco and his flying android, but I did have a flying robot, but I did have Ultraman. So we had that and Astro Boy together. And, of course, the wonderful Speed Racer.
Yeah, great Oriental cartoons. How could we forget while we're doing Cats? The Cat in the Hat. Dr.
Cat
Sue.
In the Hat. Yes.
The movie got mixed reviews, but the Sue story was very, very good.
Yes,
I thought,
and I liked the way that Alan Sherman did it in the cartoon version.
Yeah.
When you hear, you think of Alan Sherman, you think Hello Mother, Hello Fada. I think of a few songs where he turned things around, but I thought he did a wonderful job in that. Very enjoyable 22-minute cartoon of Cat in the Hat.
And, of course, the earliest, at least I believe, the earliest cartoon cat was Felix.
Yes, and that also was one of the first things actually broadcast on television. There was a little, when they were doing some experimenting, there was a little plastic statuette of Felix the Cat. They put on a slow winding turntable, and they videoed that live out to homes as they were testing the equipment and such. That was one of the first cats on television, Felix the Cat.
He was also one of the first in movies. Good old Felix.
Yeah.
There was a very popular, hardworking cat in Hollywood by the name of Orangey, who, not unusually, was a big orange cat. Now, Orangey appeared in Rhubarb in 1951, and also the cat in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Mm-hmm.
Made appearances on Our Miss Brooks, and won two Patsy Awards, which are the equivalent for an animal is the equivalent to an Oscar.
Yeah. Well, good for him. He earned it. He was the hardest working cat in Hollywood.
He's even got an IMDb page. They've got him. Oh, he was also in one of your favorite horror comedies, The Comedy of Terrors, as Rhubarb.
Yeah. Yes.
That was also
Yep. If you're into Halloween comedies, there was Binks from Hocus Pocus. That was a fun little film, and one of my wife's favorite comedy Halloween films.
Oh my God, I'm looking at Orangey's body of work here.
he was
twice on Batman with not unusually Catwoman stories. Three times on My Favorite Martian, three times on the Beverly Hillbillies, Dick Van Dyke Show, in the movie Visit to a Small Planet with Jerry Lewis, twice on Hitchcock Presents, also in This Island Earth, and The Incredible Shrinking Man. Remember that big cat?
Oh, yeah,
well,
yes.
It was a normal thing.
Yeah, he was the one that was, that was the one keeping the guy in the mouse hole, yeah. Yeah.
And gosh, there's just so many cats we certainly don't want to forget. Like, say you wanted to leave right now, one thing you might want to say.
Oh, tis my cue. Exit, stage left.
Thank you, Snagglepuss. Yes.
And one of my very favorite cartoon cats.
Here we are. Tea's on.
But I don't want no tea. It gives me a headache.
Oh, what shall we have then?
Coffee.
And, of course, how many lumps you want, you're going to get hammered anyway, you stupid. That was Pete Puma, one of my favorite cartoon cats.
Yeah.
And no kid, no monster kid, no baby boomer, no one alive that's our age could ever.
They're great.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Who was voiced by
Thurl?
Thurl Ravenscroft. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deep baritone voice. So we got some radio for you today, too.
Yep, we do. We do. Another episode of from the vaults of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, an episode called, strangely enough for our topic, Kitty. And it does involve lots of cats. Couple fun things in here. Hyman Brown shows up in a couple different roles for there. So I don't know whether we just short people that didn't show up that day for the story. You'll hear him early in the scene, then later on he plays another kind of a role. It's a little harder to distinguish it as him, but he is there. So I think that's why kind of a fun one, because Hyman Brown himself showed up in a couple parts in this. Oh, whoops. I didn't mean to step on its tail. Yeah, I know. Yeah. They are. And there's going to be more in this episode here as well. So all kinds of trouble to find, that's for sure.
Always great to have CBS Radio Mystery Theater back on Saturdays.
Yeah, well, it fits in with our 45 minutes so well, our 90-minute show so well. It gives us half the time that with the show right here. I don't really want to get a lot into it because I don't want to ruin the story as it builds. But I will tell you, it was first aired April 9th, 1980, and it was episode number 1,075.
From 39 years ago, here is the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll be back.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. I hope you don't have any objections to pets, because we have one. In fact, we have more than one. But it's not unusual for a cat lover to have several of the furry little darlings around the house. Of course, this is the home of the Mystery Theater, which means that our household pets are anything but ordinary. So if you're allergic to cats, you might not want to meet the heroine of our little tale. No pun intended. Her name is Kitty, and she's a very charming young lady. Although some people have certain doubts about her.
Last night, Professor, I found an altar in Kitty's bedroom.
A what?
An altar, like in a church. It had candles on it and an old statue. The statue of a cat.
And what makes that police business?
She had a guard watching the altar, Professor. A guard who tried to kill me. That's where I got these scratches on my face.
Our mystery drama, Kitty, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slusser and stars Terry Keane. I'll be back shortly with Act One. If you've never been to the Kit Kat Club on Lower South 11th Street, take my advice and don't go. The clientele tends to be a little rough, and the neighborhood is sometimes dangerous, especially if you're 22, a dancer in the chorus line, and you've caught the eye of a hulking young man who decides to follow you.
Hi, honey.
Excuse me, I've got to get home.
I've got my car here. Why don't I give you a lift?
I'd rather take the bus.
It's a new car, right from the factory.
Why don't you test drive one of the other girls?
Because you're the one I want.
Come
on, honey, be nice.
Let go of me,
ow, those nails of yours. Stop it. Stop it.
Miss Methune?
Yes?
Miss Holly Methune?
No, my name is Catherine. Holly is my sister.
My name is Lieutenant Dan McKenzie.
Oh, come in, please. Holly is asleep right now. She's had a bad experience, as you undoubtedly know. However, I don't believe she wishes to prefer charges against that man.
You don't understand, Miss Methune. The charges are being preferred against her. Oh, good Lord. How many cats do you have here, Miss?
8, actually. Oh, I hope you're not allergic.
Miss Methune, your sister is being charged with assault. A man named Walter Mason claims she attacked him without provocation.
Does he claim my sister was armed?
In a sense, she was. with her fingernails.
He wants her arrested because of a few scratches?
We spoke to the physician who treated Mr. Mason. He says there's no hope of saving his right eye.
Please, you wait here. Holly?
Oh, Kitty, what am I going to do?
Shh. Now, you listen to me.
When they find out that I knew this man, that I'd been to his apartment...
There is no reason to tell them that.
Kitty, I don't want to go to jail.
You are not going to be arrested, and that man is not going to hurt you. I'm going to take care of that.
How?
Just leave everything to me. Now, you go talk to the lieutenant.
Lieutenant?
Holly Mathew?
Yes. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Well, that's okay. I had plenty of company.
My sister is very fond of cats.
Oh, then this is your sister's place?
Yes, it is. I've only been here 2 months. I was studying dancing in New York. I came here because I couldn't find work back home.
You had better luck here, obviously.
I know it's not much of a job, but it's an awful place, but I had to do something. My sister couldn't support me.
What does she do?
She works as an assistant to Professor John Gilmore at the Museum of Natural History. He's a zoologist.
A cat specialist by any chance?
As it happens, he is. Excuse me. Hello? Yes, one moment. It's for you, Lieutenant.
Well, thank you. Hello?
Danny, I'm at Walter Mason's apartment. I had a little trouble getting into the place.
Why?
Mason wouldn't open the door. I had to get the super to open it. And guess what?
Come on, Sam, no guessing games.
He's dead.
Dead? Are you kidding me?
He was scratched to death. Dan, this man here had his throat scratched wide open.
Sit down, Lieutenant, McKenzie, was it?
As I told you, Professor, we're interested in your opinion of the species of cat which might possibly have made claw marks like these.
Hmm. Pretty gruesome, aren't they?
Those are just photographs. The real thing was worse. The press is calling it the wildcat murder. But I'm not sure it is a wildcat.
And I'm not sure it's murder. There are several small cats whose claw prints are indistinguishable from each other.
But then you know it's a small cat?
Oh, that's obvious from that distance between scratch lines. Could have been anything from an ocelot to a margay to a jaguarundi. But, frankly, it's hard to imagine any of them roaming the streets.
And what about just ordinary cats, Professor?
I beg your pardon?
Could just an ordinary house cat have done this? Perhaps if it became deranged?
Well, it's unlikely, Lieutenant. I never heard of a homicidal house cat.
But if one decided to kill, could it inflict this kind of damage?
Yes, I suppose so. The exhibit is right this way, Lieutenant. You might as well see it since you're here.
By the way, Professor, when did you hire Miss Methuen as your assistant?
Oh, about 3 months ago. Her credentials are very good. Her father was the archaeologist who found the sarcophagus.
The what?
Oh, it's right here, the star of our exhibit. Sarcophagus is a sort of ancient coffin. This one actually has a mummy inside.
Pretty small, isn't it?
Well, it's a cat.
A cat mummy?
Yes, yes. It was unearthed at Tel Basta in Egypt 10 years ago by Albert Methuen, Kitty and Holly's father.
Was it valuable?
The only totally preserved cat mummy in existence. And very sacred.
They took their cats seriously in those days.
Maybe we ought to take them more seriously now.
Holly, I don't like the man. And I don't like why he's taking you out. Lieutenant McKenzie is nothing but a trained police dog.
But he's not on duty tonight.
I think he is. He's still sniffing around to find out if you have any connection with Walter Mason's death.
He knows I had nothing to do with it. I was right here when it happened. There he is. And I haven't finished dressing. Kitty, would you let him in?
All right. Hello, Lieutenant. Holly will be out in a moment.
Thanks.
My friends are saying hello.
They don't seem to like me much.
They sense that you don't like them.
I don't have anything against cats.
But there is no middle ground, Lieutenant. Either you despise cats or you worship them.
Like the Egyptians?
They made the cat the most revered animal who ever lived.
The one your father found. The professor said it was the only complete mummy of a cat left in the world.
In the last century, 300,000 mummified cats were discovered in a sacred tomb. They were shipped to the farmers of England. They used them as fertilizer. I'm ready to go.
Do you mean that Kitty isn't your sister?
Of course she is. All I said was my father adopted her because of a terrible tragedy in Egypt.
What happened?
My father and his party were digging at Tel Basta. They hit a rock layer and had to use explosives. Something went wrong and some people were killed when the whole supply of dynamite went off.
What people?
Workers and some nomads that were passing through the camp. That was when they found Kitty, just sort of wandering around the desert.
You mean she's Egyptian?
We don't know. She was in a state of shock. Her clothes blown off, her mind a complete blank.
Amnesia?
They said she would remember her past eventually, but she never did. It was as if she was born a grown woman.
So your father, feeling guilty, adopted her?
Yes. He took her in.
Like a stray cat.
Miss Methune? Yes? Is your sister home? Holly?
No, she's out for the evening.
My name is Frenchie Davis. I used to work with Holly at the Kit Kat Club.
Please come in.
Wow. Holly told me you had an awful lot of cats. I ain't seen Holly since that thing happened. Too bad about her losing her job.
Yes, it was too bad.
Holly's gonna be okay, isn't she? They won't arrest her.
She was merely defending herself.
Yeah, but you know how the cops are. They don't always know everything.
What do you mean?
Well, I read where Holly never saw this man, Walter Mason, before. But that isn't true.
Well, she may have seen him at the club, of course.
What I meant was Holly dated this Mason guy. Or didn't you know that either?
That seems very unimportant now.
Look, I don't want to get Holly into trouble.
Then why did you come?
To say goodbye. I got this terrific job offer in New York. The Broadway Musical Theater, ain't that terrific?
Fabulous.
All I need is a loan to get me there and set me up for a few weeks. While we're in rehearsal, you know.
I see. How much of a loan?
Oh, $2,000 would be enough. I realize Holly doesn't have much money, but I figured her family might help her out.
Yes. I try to help Holly all I can.
I'll need the money right away, Miss Methune.
And if you don't get it?
I couldn't possibly go to New York.
You'd take a shorter trip? To the police?
That's a rotten thing to say.
You were quite right. Holly has no money. As for myself, I haven't got a penny. I spend it all on cat food.
So that's how you're gonna be, huh? I come here like a friend, and you make fun of me.
Oh, speaking of food, I wonder if you'd excuse me now. I have a large number of mouths to feed.
Listen, I wasn't going to the police before. I didn't want to get Holly in trouble. Now I don't care no more. I'll give you one last chance.
Good luck with your career, Miss Davis. In the Broadway Musical Theater.
She thinks she is. Now, take care. What's that? Another cat. I've seen enough cats for one night. Another cat? Get out of the way. Go on. Shoot. Get out of here. What is this? I never saw so many cats in my... What's the matter with you? Ow! You scratched me. No. They're attacking me. Help somebody. Help me.
It looks like Frenchie Davis will not be traveling to New York after all. Her next appearance will be not on the Broadway musical stage, but on a cold slab in the city morgue. What do you suppose a medical examiner will make of this fresh corpse? And is it the last one of its kind? We'll find out when we return with Act Two.
I know what to make of the corpse. Hamburger. Oh, no, wait.
I think it'd be more like a shredded meat with after cat gets over the air.
They went after him.
Wow. Cat by command. I didn't think you could herd cats like that.
This is what I worry about at night.
As long as you outnumber your cats, you're okay.
I don't know. They're eating your face while you're sleeping or something.
That's why when they say they want something in the middle of the night, you get up and do it, right?
Uh-oh. Do you see what Mossbane just wrote in the chat?
Yeah, he did. I do.
Oh, and we have another person joining us, DT, defensive tackle Linda Gross. Thank you for joining us.
Defensive tackle? Dale, come on.
What else does DT stand for?
I don't know, but I don't know. But
unless you recently quit drinking, I don't know. Just got the DT.
Wow. That's a good way to make sure people come back. Thanks, Dale.
They know I'm kidding. They know I'm kidding. Welcome, and thanks for joining us. Nice crowd tonight for our show on cats. Lots
we
of
do.
Cats. Funny we went to a musical in this. I wonder which one.
Yeah, no, this is a good story building here, and even a cop be able to figure out what's going on here pretty soon. So I have a friend who was I have a friend who says, yeah, people aren't policemen because they're the smartest people in the world. So even the cop figures it out. Something's going on here.
And with that being said, let's move on to part two of three. This is CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Kitty.
The strange death of Frenchie Davis has proved to be a bonanza for the city's papers. Their headline writers delighted with the possibilities, one of whom wrote, Kit Kat Club Sex Kitten Clawed to Death. But for the city police and for Lieutenant Dan McKenzie, the woman's death, so much like the slaying of Walter Manson, is a puzzle that defies a rational solution. Unless, of course, the answer isn't rational.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant, that you have a problem.
Have you read about this dancer's death, Professor Gilmore?
Yes, I've read those hysterical newspaper stories. In fact, I've had offers to write one myself.
About what?
Killer cats, of course. They'd like me to say that some leopard or tiger is roaming the streets at night and sleeping in the park by day.
But you know better, don't you? You know it wasn't a big cat that killed Frenchie Davis.
No. These were definitely small cats.
You use the plural.
No, it's obvious. One cat could never have inflicted so many wounds and scratches on that poor woman.
You think there may be a pack of wild cats?
Lieutenant, I have no theory.
Well, even when you realize that there's a connection between Holly Methune and Frenchie Davis?
Well, I don't know Holly. I only know her sister.
And how well do you know her?
Frankly, not well enough. But that's something I hope to change. Well, what do you think of Abigail?
Oh, she's lovely, John.
How long have you had her?
Well, the truth is, she really belongs to my landlady, but she adopted me. Don't ask me how she knew my specialty.
Cats know everything.
Sometimes I think they do. Here's your coffee. And a saucer of milk for Abigail. You know, I realized something this morning, Kitty. You and that sarcophagus have never been apart.
Whatever do you mean?
No, I was writing a piece about Bastet for the Review, describing its history since your father dug it up.
And?
And I realized that your travels and Bastet's coincide. For instance, when the mummy was in the Cairo Museum, didn't you live in Cairo?
Oh, that was natural since my adopted father was there.
But when it moved to the British Museum, you went to live in London. Your father didn't.
Well, he was ill then. He was sent to that clinic in the States.
And when I met you in New York, that was when Bastet had been shipped over to the Metropolitan.
And that's where you hired me to follow you here.
Well, I'm sorry to say the chain will be broken.
What do you mean?
I've been asked to bring the exhibit to the Chicago Museum.
But I thought it was going to be on permanent exhibit here. Didn't you tell me that?
Oh, I thought so. But the old controversy with the Egyptian government about who owns Bastet has risen again. We've decided to keep the exhibit circulating until the issue is settled.
Oh, but you can't do that. You can't let the... Would you excuse me a moment? I want to call my sister to see if she's all right.
I thought she was out with that policeman.
That's what worries me. I'll call from your bedroom. Would you like to come in for a while, Dan?
Oh, thanks.
Have a seat and relax, if you don't mind the cats.
As long as they don't mind me.
Excuse me. Hello? Oh, hi, Kitty. Yes, of course. One second. Dan, would you mind if I took this call in the kitchen? It's Kitty, and she sounds a little bit upset.
Well, sure, go ahead.
I'll put some coffee on at the same time.
That's fine with me. Now, this may be a very good time for a little exploring. So this is Kitty's bedroom. Yeah, I thought so. Pictures of cats all over the place. Well, let's see what she's got in this closet. Yeah, locked. Now, why would Kitty lock a clothes closet? Well, let's see if I'm as good a lockpicker as I used to be. There. That was too easy. What the heck? It's not a clothes closet at all. It's more like an altar. Candles and a statue.
Hey! Get off me! Crazy little... Stop it! Get away! I don't want to do this, but I will if I have to.
Dan! What happened?
I'm sorry, Holly, but this damn cat attacked me.
You're bleeding.
Yeah.
Your face is all scratched.
It wanted to kill me. That's why I had to do it. That's why I had to hit it with that chair.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Holly. I really am. I don't like to hurt animals. I was just trying to save myself.
Hello?
Holly, it's John Gilmore. Something's happened here. Something's happened to your sister.
But I was just talking to her.
Yes, yes, and a moment later, she collapsed.
Thanks for meeting me for breakfast, Professor. It's really important.
I'm just having coffee, Lieutenant. As it happens, I have another date for breakfast. What's this all about?
It's about Catherine Methuen.
Go ahead.
I hate to say this, Professor, but I think your assistant, Kitty, is mentally disturbed.
I thought you were a cop, Mr. McKenzie, not a psychiatrist.
Last night, I found an altar in Kitty's bedroom.
A what?
An altar, like in a church. It had candles on it and an old statue. The statue of a cat.
And what makes that police business?
She had a guard watching the altar, Professor. A guard who tried to kill me. That's where I got these scratches on my face.
Hmm. If that's all you have to tell me, Lieutenant, I think I'll skip the coffee, too.
Don't worry, Abigail. I'll make your breakfast, too. But I can't stay very long. I have other mouths to feed.
Kitty.
Well, where have you been?
I went to meet a detective.
He did what?
He claims there was another assault with intent to kill. He said the assault took place in your house by one of your pets.
That's insane. John, my cats wouldn't hurt anyone. Cats are all gentle creatures.
Well, I told him he was wrong, Kitty, but the man has a fixation.
I've got to go.
Wait, Kitty, we have to talk about
this. I have to go home and see what's happened. I don't know how it happened, Kitty. I was just putting up some coffee and I heard these horrible noises from your bedroom. Where is Lavinia? Dead. Oh, Master of Mercy, carry her soul to heaven. That policeman killed her, didn't he? Yes. And her body? Her body, Holly. Where is it? I was afraid. I called the ASPCA. They took her. In ancient Egypt, do you know what happened to someone who caused the death of a cat?
Well, Sam, you're finally going to see all those pussycats.
I can't wait.
Won't you come in, gentlemen?
This is Lieutenant Sam Rodman, Miss Methune.
How do you do?
I'm sorry Holly couldn't be here. She had an audition downtown. May I offer you anything?
Miss Methune, in case I didn't make myself clear, this is official business.
My, how serious.
To put it bluntly, I'm here to ask if you had any part in the slaying of Mr. Walter Mason or in the death of a woman called Francine Jelinek, who called herself Frenchie Davis.
For heaven's sake, Lieutenant.
I'm not suggesting that you committed these crimes personally, only that you were responsible for them.
Responsible? How?
I'm suggesting, Miss Methune, that you have the ability to train animals, cats, to commit such crimes upon your command.
Oh, Lieutenant, how funny you are. Do you really think these soft, gentle, loving creatures can be made to commit murder?
When you want them to. Yes.
Oh. Did you hear that, Demetrius? You're a mad killer. And you, Nefertiti, you who hasn't the heart to kill a mouse, you're a killer, too. Ptolemy Cleo, did you hear what the man said about you?
Miss Methune.
Yes, Lieutenant.
I just want you to know that I know. And that I intend to find some way to prove it. So keep a leash on your pets.
I don't know, Dan. It sounded a little bit reasonable when you told me, but seeing that woman and those cute little pussycats.
They had their claws sheathed, Sam. So did the woman.
Oh, hey, isn't that the sister coming?
Oh, yes. Holly!
Oh, hello, Dan.
I stopped by to see if you were home. Your sister said you had an audition.
Me and the rest of the dancers in this town. P.S., I didn't get the job.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would it help if I bought you a drink? I'm off duty as of now.
I would love a drink.
Sam, go on without me, okay?
Oh, you single guys. Cat's committing murder. Boy, I'd like to see the chief's face when he hears that one.
Now, what about those screwy names? Demetrius Nefertiti?
What the heck was that? A piece of bacon. One of the cats is in the car.
Hey, get off of me. Stop it. Get off of me. You're trying to...
And so those soft, gentle, loving creatures
have been responsible for death number three. You can imagine what Lieutenant Dan McKenzie is going to feel when he learns that his friend Sam lies dead in the wreckage of his car with strange claw marks on the back of his neck. But Dan McKenzie escaped the same fate, which means we'll learn what he does about Kitty in Act Three.
Yeah, these cats are on a rampage.
when they want to be, and, you know, I was looking through some. A lot of times there are comments on CBS Radio Mystery Theater, CBSRMT.com, about the episode. Just the first comment, the only one right here is cat, a pygmy lion who loves mice, hates dogs, and patronizes human beings. And that was a quote by Oliver Herford, the writer, illustrator. So I thought that was a cool thing. Also, another thing I was thinking about, cats in television. And one that I kind of forgot about, but I've rediscovered as of late, thanks to, we got the BritBox for our Roku channel, mostly for the wife, but there are some things on there I enjoy too. One of the things I truly love is the BBC program called Red Dwarf. And one of the characters in there is, they call him Cat. And what it was is, when he was, when the main character Dave was in suspended animation for like a thousand millennia or something like that, and comes back out, the cat who was pregnant had kittens and evolved from a cat into this person. And it is just so, he acts so much like a cat, so much about himself. It's absolutely hilarious whenever he shows up. It's just probably my favorite cat television would be Cat from Red Dwarf.
We've neglected another cartoon cat too, Garfield.
Garfield, absolutely. A comic strip. It was a wonderful Emmy Award winning specials with his, the first two, which were, I think, the Christmas and the Halloween, and Lorenzo Music doing the voice, who was Carlton the Doorman on was that Rhoda? Carlton the Doorman, or yeah, I think it was on Rhoda. He was Carlton the Doorman, who was also a writer for the Smothers Brothers. So keep going back with that, but yeah, and there was on Alf. There was Lucky the Cat, who Alf was always trying to chase down because his culture eats cats, so he was always in trouble for that. Trying to think, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Salem.
Yes, Salem.
Yes.
Yeah, she had a cat. That was a cool cat too. That was one of those tuxedo cats with a white stripe down it.
Voiced by Nick Barkey.
I have a tuxedo cat, a very fat one.
Yeah.
Very, very, very obese.
I guess the great thing, the great thing about Red Dwarf is I didn't realize that they had still gone on. Last year they had another new series of it, and they didn't show it here in Northeast Highland either. We have two PBS stations here, and neither station showed it. But so I got a hold of the guard. Now I can see it once again on the BritBox app. So it's another great reason when you cut the cord to find a few channels that you really, really can enjoy. So
yeah, there's plenty out there. I have a few more suggestions I'll tell you about later, but we have to play some more of this CBS Radio Mystery Theater and wrap it up.
And a short teaser,
tale.
Dale. I'm just going to give you a short.
Like this woman.
I'm just going to give him a short teaser that, hey, after the show's over, we may have time for a short bit I did for Weirdness Radio way back in 1980. So
we will certainly have time for that. We got all kinds of cat treats for you, and not the kind you give your cat. These are the kind you put in your ears. As we wrap up CBS Radio Mystery Theater and this chilling tale called Kitty. Thank you.
body of Lieutenant Sam Rodman has been taken to the city morgue. The family of Sam Rodman has been informed of the tragedy. As yet, no one knows that Sam died in the honorable performance of his duties, that he was killed trying to prevent a murderer from committing still another crime. But one man knows the truth, and Lieutenant Dan McKenzie is trying hard to make another man face it.
Look at him, Professor. Look hard.
I'm looking, Lieutenant.
You must be used to seeing those by now, those claw marks.
You think it's another cat murder?
The cat was the weapon, like a gun or knife. I'm not blaming the weapon.
Lieutenant, I just can't believe such a far-fetched theory.
So far, I can't prove it, Professor. But there's one thing I can do. I can destroy her weapons.
John, are you sure? He really intends to harm my cat?
I don't know what he's planning exactly, but he means to take some action, Kitty. Now, he really believes this.
And what about you? What do you believe? Can't you answer me?
There are things I don't understand. Things I didn't want to ask you, Kitty, and not until I thought I had the right.
And when would you have that right?
When I knew I was in love with you.
All right, John. You may see the altar.
Oh. Good Lord.
Yes, John. It's as old as you think it is.
It's a Nebanin sculpture. Incredibly valuable, Kitty. You don't really worship this thing.
Does that convince you that I'm mad?
No.
The lieutenant thinks that explosion in the desert was responsible for my aberration.
Because of your amnesia?
There was no amnesia, John.
What?
Amnesia means forgetting. I forgot nothing. The reason I had no memory of the past when they found me at Bubastis, at the place they now call Tel Basta, is that I had no past.
Oh, come on, Kitty.
I had no memories. As a woman.
What are you talking about?
Before then, before that desecration, I was Bastet.
Kitty.
This human form of mine is only the incarnation of the soul which escaped the sarcophagus when the man who called himself my father removed it from the sacred tomb. This is why I have followed the mummy everywhere. I can't be parted from it. If I did, my human life would surely end.
Kitty, please, listen.
John, you can help me. You say you're in love with me. That means you want to help me, doesn't it?
Yes, I will. We'll talk to somebody, someone who understands these
things. You mean
things.
A doctor, of course. No, John. I know the cure for my disease. The prescription is simple. Help me to complete this endless search for my own soul. Give me Bastet. Give her to me.
Give you the mummy? From the museum?
Only the mummy, not the sarcophagus. The sarcophagus is stone. Bastet is life.
Kitty, it isn't mine to give.
No one would know. You don't exhibit the mummy, only its coffin.
Someone's at the door, Kitty.
Miss Methune, I'm sorry to disturb you, but again, this is official business.
What do you want here? Who are these men?
I have here a warrant from the Board of Health requiring the impounding of the animals you've been keeping here in violation of Code 17, Section 10.
Well, what's this all about,
John,
Lieutenant?
John, stop them. They're going to take away my cat.
All right, boys, round them up and be careful. Make sure those gloves are on.
You cannot do this, John. Stop them.
You can read the order yourself, Professor. It's all legal.
No, you stop. You don't touch them. Leave them alone. They are my pets, my friends.
Yes, Miss Methune. I know how important they are to you.
I won't let you do this.
Why don't you order them to attack?
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Oh, Kitty, I'm so sorry, but how could he have done such a thing? By what right?
He obtained a warrant on some spurious ground. I warned you about him, Holly.
But I like him, Kitty. I really do.
You will never see him again.
Oh, please don't ask me to do that. You know I hate not to do what you ask me, but this is different.
Is it?
I have so little in this world, Kitty. Just him.
Holly, Lieutenant McKenzie doesn't care for you. You are just an element in his case against me. Nothing more. Now, look at me.
No, I won't.
You can't help yourself, Holly. Now, that's better. Close your eyes. That's right. And now, if you're very good, I'll let you see your police dog one more time. Tonight.
For God's sake, I can't let you do this.
And I never want to see you again.
Kitty, wait! Kitty!
Oh, I had to do it. I didn't know how else to stop your sister.
It's just not true, Dan. They're just cats. Ordinary cats.
Maybe the cats are ordinary. Your sister isn't.
But how could she do it?
I don't know.
You think she sent a cat to kill Walter Mason? That she could make the cat understand where to go, what to do?
Somehow she did. And we know why she did it.
For me.
Then she did the same to your friend from the Kit Kat Club. I don't know that reason yet. And then there was Sam.
Sit closer, Dan. Put your arm around me.
Holly, your sister's dangerous. That's why I had to do what I did. Get rid of the murder weapons. All of them.
Holly! Stop it, for Pete's sake! Holly, don't make me do this! Don't make me hit you!
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dad, what happened to me? What was I doing?
It's all right, Holly.
I tried to scratch your eyes out.
No, Holly, it wasn't you. It was Kitty. You were just the only cat she had left.
Do you think that's her?
Maybe she wants to find out how things went. Hello.
Who's this?
Was that you, Professor? Well, it's Dan McKenzie.
Oh, McKenzie, thank the Lord. Listen, my cat, Abigail, tried to kill me. My own pet. At least I thought she was. She crawled up onto my chest. She's done that 100 times. But this time, McKenzie, I'm almost ready to believe you.
You can believe it, Professor. The problem now is to prove it.
Well, at least I know what Kitty is after. Lieutenant, she wants the mummy of the cat. She broke the exhibit case tonight attempting to steal it. Well, maybe she thought I'd let her get away with it, but I didn't. I couldn't.
What are you going to do about it?
I'm not preferring charges, if that's what you mean. But tomorrow morning, I'm taking that mummy away. Chicago.
Waiter, a vodka martini, nice and dry.
Coming right up. Here's your menu, sir.
Oh, thank you.
I love to eat on trains, don't you?
Kitty.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle you.
How did you know I was here?
I just knew.
Because cats know everything?
You told me you were leaving for Chicago, that the whole exhibit was moving, including Bastet.
Kitty, why did you do this?
Not for the reason you think.
What reason?
The one I told you, of course. That I had to be near Bastet. That Bastet was my life. That was only poetic license, of course. I didn't mean it literally.
Didn't you?
But there is someone I have to be near. It isn't the dried-up mummy of a creature dead for thousands of years. It's you, John.
I see.
Last night, I realized what was truly important to me. Being with you, never leaving your side. Oh, John, I love you.
I don't want to be without you. I'll do anything you say to make that possible.
Anything?
If you want me to see a doctor about this obsession of mine, I'll do that, too.
Here you are, sir. Nice and dry. Should I make that, too?
No. Is there still a table for one?
Yes, sir.
John, what is it? You can't have changed the way you feel.
Do you know something, Kitty? I almost needed a doctor myself last night. My cat, Abigail, went mad. She tried to kill me. She walked on my chest up to my face and looked down at me with your eyes.
Damn you. I hope I never see you again. Please, can you tell me where the baggage car is?
Last car of the train, miss.
Thank you.
You can't get in there, though.
Oh, I have to get in. There's something in my luggage I need.
You have to wait until we unload in Chicago. Baggage car stays locked until then.
But this is important. It's some medicine I have to take.
You'd have carried it with you, miss.
But I'm ill. I must have it. Now, couldn't you help me?
Well, if it's an emergency, I guess I could get her open for you. Well, follow me. You just tell me what bag looks like, and I'll see if I can find it. Might take a while, though.
Don't bother. I can do it much faster.
An awful lot of bags in here, miss.
It's a crate. It has the name of a museum on it.
A museum? I thought you said it was your luggage.
I work for the museum, please. Let me alone, and I'll find it.
I can't do that, miss.
Get out of my way.
Hey, look out! You're knocking over those crates.
I have to find it. Bazette, where are you?
Miss, look out. There are animals in there.
A dog.
Miss, look out.
Bazette, protect me.
Miss, look out.
No, no. Ah!
I'm really sorry about this, Professor, but there was nothing I could do. Nothing.
Yes, yes, I understand.
That dog jumped on her. I thought he was going to tear her throat out. And then she went right out the door.
I'm sure it wasn't your fault in any way.
The lady who owns the dog, she said he never attacked anyone in his life.
Well, I'm sure it was just instinct.
What I want to know is what your friend was trying to do in the baggage compartment. What made her try to open all those crates?
Curiosity, I guess.
I'm really sorry about all this, Holly.
Oh, it's horrible. It's just horrible.
But at least it's over. Come on, I think you have to get out of this place. It'll do you good.
Yes. I want to get out of this apartment. I can't bear to be here. Not with all these reminders of Kitty. Dan, I just can't believe she's dead.
Yes. Only 8 more lives to go.
So curiosity has killed the cat, just as the old saying has it. There are so many things that have been said about cats, but I like the definition of Oliver Herford. Cat. A pygmy lion who loves mice, hates dogs, and patronizes human beings. Well, the cat named Kitty will trouble humans no more unless Dan McKenzie is right and Bastet appears again in still another form. Have you looked closely at your lady friends lately? I'll be back with a final word. You've enjoyed the story of Kitty Mathune and her ferocious felines, and that the cat lovers among you haven't been offended by the terrible deeds her little friends performed. It's all in the spirit of the Radio Mystery Theater, where even the house pets can become creatures of horror. But that's our house, and we invite you to return often. Our cast included Terry Keane, Catherine Byers, Russell Horton, and Bob Caliban. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
We have this handkerchief, Miss Merriweather. It isn't mine.
It was found on the floor near his body.
I tell you, it isn't mine.
It has your initials on it, M.M.
But it isn't mine.
It's an expensive handkerchief. You're a lady who can afford expensive clothing and accessories.
Lieutenant, it's... What can I say to you? It's circumstantial. It's hearsay, all of this. Rumor. Innuendo. It's... Oh, please. I'm innocent.
But the handkerchief is definite, material, physical. It's here.
But it isn't mine. You can't prove it's mine. I see. Because it's an expensive handkerchief that has my initials on it. I have to prove that it isn't mine. But how could I do that? How could I possibly prove that I never bought that handkerchief? Or that no one ever gave it to me? Or it isn't right. It isn't fair.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Our squeak, the one we got from Fudge. I like our squeak better.
I do too. I do too. And because we got it from Foggy, there's no worry about the lawsuits or anything like that. Thanks, Foggs.
Yeah, using someone else's squeak. Not that their squeak is a bad squeak. I think ours is just better.
Don't oil that door.
Never oil that door, but don't leave it open or the cats get in. Surprisingly, Erie House Radio proudly presenting Garland. Moral of the story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. If you date a woman and she's a little catty, that's okay, as long as she's not a real cat. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
We would have loved to have added a wonderful story called Cat Wife, starring Boris Karloff, but we played that in the past.
We did, and what would be a great way for them to hear that then, Dale?
I'm sorry, Dave?
What would be a great way for them to hear that anyway?
Well,
go into the archive.
Archive and snip it out. And if I could find the search bar on my Excel spreadsheet, I would tell them exactly what date it was.
Yeah, it was a wonderful story. And then, of course, the one that we aired was the one that Boris the Lights Out that Boris Karloff did with the wonderful Arch Obler Lights Out program. And just a wonderful, great program. And as Dale is scrolling to try and find in the first, probably the first half a year we were doing this, Dale, I would imagine.
Scrolling.
You are scrolling because there are so many hundreds of radio programs there. Of course, one thing that our listeners don't know is that we also I edit these down for an hour a week, and they get an extra hour of our program for the blind and the those that can't hold the reading material on the radio reading service for the blind of Erie House as well. So it's just another way to try and entertain people with and share old radio programs that we have. So that's just another fun thing that we do here.
That we do.
Dale has a
I'm done scrolling. I quit. There are 263 shows to go through, and I'm not going to put our audience through me looking through all of them.
And many of them come with more than one program. So
most of them, in fact. So, okay, here we go. Cat Wife from a Halloween week of 2017. August the 26th. Check that one out. Had the cat scratch post for a Thursday. We had Cat Wife, Origin of Superstition, and Mystery in the Air. Cat
oh,
stories.
Yeah, with the,
took us a couple years to come back around to cats.
Yeah, but there are plenty of cat stories. We will be back once again, except next week. We're gonna suck the blood out of next weekend, I guess.
Yes. Non-Dracula vampires. All next weekend.
Did you say non-Dracula vampires? Yes. Including a Hall of Fantasy, a Sherlock Holmes, and another trip into the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. A really neat tale called Nightmare's Nest. You'll be look forward to sharing that one. So, yep.
That's right. For your iron neck protectors.
Yep.
This place is-
and have lots of garlic bread before the broadcast. That'll help you too.
Yes, because this place is going to have as many vampires next week as we have cats right now, I'm telling you.
Hey, I'm going to add a couple more cats here, Dale. Back when we started Weirdness in 1979. Actually, this is probably from 1981 now I think about it. I wrote a sketch. We had my brother and one of our high school classmates. She was probably would have been 1980. I think she was a year between my brother and I in high school. And, of course, I was already off at University of Akron. But my brother was there, and she brought along. She was just one of these wonderful people. She was on several of my radio stages about 15 years later after this. So I just thought I'd dig out this clip that I wrote for old Weirdest Radio from, it must be 1980. So if you want to kind of click on two cats, Dale.
It's about damn time we got back to some Weirdness Radio. Enjoy, folks. We'll be back.
Why aren't you two cats cute? Hey, I bet you're hungry. I'll just go down the store and get you some food.
Boy, I'm glad that clown's gone.
Yeah, me too. Can you see that guy trying to get us to play with that stupid string?
I think he has more fun with it than we do.
You know, I heard him complaining on the phone about us not catching mice lately.
I know. It's because I'm full. You can't eat all those things up in one day. Besides, some of them haven't bathed yet. Why haven't you caught any?
Don't you remember? I was declawed.
Oh, yeah. Playing tic-tac-toe on his $100 stereo speakers wasn't the brightest thing you ever did.
Yeah, but I won on his 10 games, didn't I? How old are you, anyways?
Well, I'm 14 years old. Oh, that's 104 Lauren Green years.
What's your secret to long life?
Two things. Always land on your feet and sleep most of the day.
Hey, what do you think that new ball he got us?
The one with the bell?
Yeah, that's the one.
I think it's great. I roll it under the couch, meow, and when he reaches under the couch to get it, I scratch his face.
I have the most fun when I take the pens out from the desk and drop them down the heat register. Boy, is he going to get a surprise next year when the heat turns on again.
Uh-oh, here he comes. It's time to put on our act like we missed him again. Meow.
Yeah, I don't think that clown will ever catch on.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Now, wait, now, Dave, you write this story, and yet you don't believe me that they whisper to each other. They talk to each other. They plot. They plan. They're scheming. They look at me with their yellow eyes. I can't stand it. I'm better.
Yeah.
Just had to get that.
Yeah,
out.
I know. I just never heard that. That's how cats, you know, they do that to communicate with peoples and not to each other. So.
Oh, it's a very clever kid. I like that.
Actually, I think cats have ESP with each other. That's why they don't have to talk. They don't have to meow at each other.
No, I think that's a perfect actual demonstration of what cats do when they're not paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
That's why
true.
I love them. I keep them, and I'm going to catch them one of these days. One of their schemes.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time here, and again, thanks to Linda and Foggs and Jacques for listening to us live. Another bonus for you. You can call in if you like, if you want to give the wheel a spin at 646-378-0264. We'll give you a couple minutes here to carefully dial your phone, because we know you still have a rotary phone.
And of course, our
give the wheel a spin.
I was going to mention that our compadre will not be having his show tonight. He's been having a lot of technical difficulties, and hopefully he's got a brand new computer coming in. That horrible horror starring Garth Ghoul will be back again next Saturday over on good old iVlog TV. So, but yeah, unfortunately he will not be doing his show tonight. So,
but I am here to help manage your disappointment and keep you from despairing. You can always go back into the archive. Listen to show after show after show of Erie House Radio, many which have Gar, so you won't have to miss out.
That's right. Yes, yeah, so right after our broadcast, then tune into that one. And
I feel like I
walked
into talking. Well, apparently the lines are jammed and no one can get through, so... Dave, I think I'm going to walk
Darn you, Blog Talk. All right, let me step up to the wheel. I'm going to reach all the way up to the top here, grab the peg to give it a nice big spin.
Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Fellas, we'd like to throw a dozen fancy orchids to a bunch of you guys somewhere in the British Isles. You're known as the TAF, and one of you has a friend in Cambridge, Mass. The orchids are for the tough job you did for the AAF. And Command Performance sweetens those orchids with a girl hundreds of you ask for. A girl most of you know is a screwball and a clown. Yet a girl who has one of the most remarkable coloratura voices in the country. And when I say country, I am speaking from an agricultural point of view. That old corny favorite, Jim, by Miss Joan Davis.
Jim doesn't ever send me pretty flowers. Jim never tries to cheer my lonely hours. I don't know why I'm so crazy for Jim. Oh, Jim. Gee, I'll never forget the night I met Jim. I was about to end it all, but just as I was ready to jump off the bridge, along came Jim. He didn't let me jump. He pushed me. Oh, Jim. Jim wasn't like other fellas. He didn't want to hug and kiss all the time. Why, he was happy just to sit home with me and go... Life. Life was one gay round of pleasure for Jim and me. Me and Jim then. Then came our first quarrel. He hit me over the head with my mother. Oh, I didn't mind, but Mother stabbed him with a barracuda. All those long hours that I nursed him back to health, I didn't eat.
eat. I didn't sleep. All I could think of morning, noon, and night was Jim, Jim, Jim. I mean Jim, Jim, Jim. Oh, I know Jim isn't through. He beats me and mistreats me. But what can I do? I've tried and tried to leave Jim, but I can't. He keeps me chained to the front porch. Oh, but someday I know that he will up and leave me. But even if he does, you can believe me. I'll go on carrying the torch, eating out my heart, waiting for his call. I just can't live without my... what's that fellow's name again?
Jim.
Oh, yeah. My Jim.
Another one of those...
Thank you, Joan Davis.
Well,
you know, Cary Grant there.
And
Joan Davis. I remember her from way back when we first got cable. One of the interesting shows that TBN, which was the Trinity Broadcasting Network. But overnight, late at night, they had all these great old TV comedies. The Jack Benny Show and Bachelor Father, and again, this was one of them there also. This was I Married Joan, and it starred Joan Davis, and her husband in that was the judge, Jim Backus. And I spent many a late night up later than I should have up watching, catching those shows. The Jack Bennys were all great as they are, that was probably of their lineup. One of my second favorite ones was the I Married Joan. So, yeah.
What you talking about, Willie?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't actually marry Joan. I mean the TV show.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't clarify that.
We still have a little bit of time. I'm going to slip a nickel right into the commercial jukebox and see what comes up randomly.
Okay.
On a 20-minute loop and sending you a copy.
Why, thank you. I need something to scare the mice away. Thank you.
Oh, gosh.
Actually,
remember Jinx the cat?
Jinx, yep, with Pixie Nixie. I eat nieces to pieces.
I hate those nieces to pieces. Popcat. We can't forget Popcat.
Good old Arnold Stang, and probably the only lead role he ever had in his life. And that was in a cartoon as Popcat.
Great
yeah.
character.
Good old
Popcat was
good
a great
old
character.
It was kind of a Bowery Boys of cat cartoon world, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if we had time, we'd give you Cat Facts, Dave Facts, but time has run out, and we want to thank our live listeners, the wonderful and delightful Linda who left, Jacques Fogsbane, thanks for sticking it out with us for the entire show. Appreciate that.
Yeah, some people are just a glutton for punishment, yeah.
And if you ever watch me eat, some people are just gluttons. But
that's right.
I feel about food. Chewing is optional. Well, we'll see you next week with lots of vampires.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Here you go. There you go. Yep. No, that was fun. That was fun. Good story, too. Good story.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was pretty sinister of that lady with the cats.
Yeah, well, cats are sinister. I'm sorry, but they are.
I know. They may look cute, but deep down they're plotting and scheming.
They're a very clever animal, and what was among before, you're working for them. They don't work for you. You work for them.
Right. There's something about cats. Look at how many cat memes and cat videos are just flying across the internet.
Right, and there's one of the Roku channels, Pluto, has an entire channel. It's nothing but cat videos. And
I confess I watched it.
During the Super Bowl, they used to show the Puppy Bowl in, you know, one of these, like, Home and Garden channel or something. But now they've reverted to the cat Super Bowl because cats are a little bit more creative than what the puppies were, so.
And as any cat will tell you in a direct quote from the movie Cats and Dogs, cats rule, dogs drool.
There you go. There you go.
I think that was the one with Michael J. Fox and, I forget who the female lead was.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. What was that? Incredible Journey? Is that what that was?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. No, there was another one where they were like spies, and the running theme was cats rule, dogs drool. That's a kid movie.
And cats are portrayed many times as evil and. Hanger-arounder of evil people.
They are. Have you ever caught your cats doing anything strange, really way out there?
Only when new catnip has been laid out.
Oh, gosh. I remember my wife's cat got high on celery. She was acting very much as if she had just gotten into some catnip. She was rolling all around and just going crazy from getting into some celery we had left on the counter. We were making some chicken soup, and she got into the leaves and just went berserk. It had the same effect as catnip. Yes, you can get your cat high on celery.
Well, see, if that happened to us, we wouldn't need to worry about this medicinal marijuana. We could just go to celery.
That's right. At least for cats, it works that way. I can't say I've ever gotten a buzz from celery. But I haven't tried smoking it either.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll give it a fair shake.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be pretty desperate to be smoking celery. You would.
Now, I've caught my cats do it. Joe is just, in addition to his fetish with water, he's fascinated by his own shadow. There's a particular way that the light comes in from our foyer. It's a two-story foyer. And when the light comes in and Joe is in the living room, his shadow is cast upon the couch. And he's absolutely mesmerized by his own shadow, and he paws at it. Sometimes he'll find a wall and stares at it. And you're looking, you go up to the wall, there's nothing there, there's no bug crawling there, you know, no wisp of dust or anything like that. Just staring at the wall. So I try to convince Denise he's staring into other dimensions, contemplating the universe. But what's really going through his mind is air.
I thought it was interesting. Cats have no recognition of themselves, self-recognition. So that's why it doesn't mean anything. When they see another cat in the mirror, sometimes they believe it's another cat because they do not recognize themselves. Even if it's there in your arms, in the mirror, like it's in your arms there, they do not recognize that as being them. They have no self-recognition.
Ah. Okay, here's one that this one's going to ignite a memory or two we haven't mentioned today. Another cat cartoon movie, Gay Puri, with Judy Garland, Mel Blanc, and Red Buttons.
Oh, okay.
Never seen that one?
I have not seen that one. Geez, Mel Blanc, he didn't get to do a lot of movies on film. Was this a cartoon?
Yes, it was a cartoon movie that came out in 1962. It was, you know, near the end of Judy Garland's life.
I didn't know that Judy Garland did the cartoons. I guess that's why I was caught off guard there. Yeah.
And here's another memory buster from 1974. Harry and Tonto. Art Carney.
Yes. Art Carney. And Tonto was the name of the cat.
Correct.
Yeah.
You can just keep your Hello Kitty. We've got through the ages. Oh,
we
gosh.
Do.
How could we forget a very chilling cat named Church from Pet Sematary?
Well, yeah. What's funny is we mentioned it last week as a preview for this week and didn't mention it in either of the nights here. You're right.
Yeah.
From Pet Sematary, yeah.
And the James Bond villain from Dr. No had a cat that, of course,
yep.
Austin Powers spoofed with Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yeah, but that is really, that's like hat calf, hat rat. I'm sorry. That's an ugly cat.
Oh, I don't go for the hairless cats.
Yeah.
I'd have to get like a hair restorer or something on the cat.
Yeah.
One of my fondest memories of my father. He was a very quiet, very serious guy, but the one thing that would make him laugh and laugh boisterously was a movie that had cat in the name but had nothing to do with cats. And I'm talking about Cat Ballou with Jane Fonda and Lee Marvin. That King Cole.
Oh, what? Yes, what a
that
what
scene
a great.
With Lee Marvin and the horse, both drunk, leaning against the barn, would just get him rolling, laughing.
Yeah.
That would crack him up.
There
oh,
was
gosh,
that.
Here's another from our era, Dave.
Okay.
Remember Elsa?
Yes, you know what? I was thinking about that the other day. Elsa the Lion from Born Free. That's a movie that once it was aired on television, I think it got aired about, in the next 10 years, got aired about 50,000 times. And
we were kind of inundated with it, but it's a fascinating tale about.
It is, yeah. But yeah, it's not something that to this day, whenever, you know, I even hear the words "Born Free," you know, that song pops into my mind, and I run out of the room screaming.
Yes, yeah, because it did get some overkill back in those days. But it was a very heartwarming tale about Jane, not Jane Goodall, but someone like Jane Goodall who raised these baby lions, and they were released into the wild, and they went back like a couple years later, and the lions remembered them.
Yes.
Lions are weird.
There was an internet sensation not long ago about two guys who did the same thing, and they went back to look for it, and they did find it, and it just jumped up and rolled all over them like it did when, you know, from the time they found it. You know, this lion had gone back to the wild, and it had been like 3 years since they saw it last. And yet he felt the same way he did when he saw them as he did when they left, you know. There was
you
a
know
viral
what's different about
lions
from any other member of the cat family? What do you, other than their size?
The only thing I can think of is their size.
They are a pack animal. Most cats are very solitary, in particular the males.
Yeah, it's true.
They do not travel in any kind of pack, herd, bevy, although a group of cats is called a clowder, believe it or not. Lions are
maybe
social.
Yeah,
and
they
the
are.
Females do the majority of the hunting. The males get the leftovers.
Yeah, but they also get the beer, so, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. They get the beer, the large screen, they're all set.
Yeah. What? Leftovers again? Oh, all right. No problem. As long as
you know,
it's raw,
sometimes
it's okay.
Sometimes I wonder how cats can be so athletic and so powerful and so fast, but then they sleep 70% of the time.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
not so surprising.
They sure can move though. Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Going through the Disney movies, I thought of another one that I forgot to mention. Charlie the Lonesome Cougar.
Oh, gosh. And Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion.
Not only in movies, but also there in Doc Turry.
Yeah. Who is now practicing?
Oh, hey, but there's the biggest cat. There's the biggest lion of all times that we didn't mention. Leo the Lion from MGM.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a star without, for how long? You know, come on.
Yeah, without Leo, I mean, there'd be no MGM. Or at least not that iconic.
There would be no. Yep.
Well, Dave, I got to scoop my cats. All 500 of them.
Ooh, my.
I got into it earlier.
All right. Well, I guess if that's the case, then I think I better herd Jimmy Duran in here for us to say goodnight with.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Ah, 'tis my cue. Exit, stage left.